So we are up to Romans 14:10 in our studies, and let's start by reading it. This is actually, before we start, it's the section we've gone through our need of salvation and what Christ did about it, how we can be saved in Romans 1-5. And then the life that he imputes to us, the righteousness and the life in Romans 6-8. And then why we're not saved Israel's way anymore, why that doesn't work. Some lessons out of the Old Testament. And then now we're in the part, the fourth part, living out the Christian life. We that are saved need to work out that salvation that we have. And so Romans 14:10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? Now remember, we've talked and found out in recent lessons who these weak brothers are. Now there were brothers that were not weak too, just among the, like us, in the in the body of Christ. But there were weak brothers referred to who could perish, it said, if they sinned and didn't endure to the end. It said they could be destroyed. Paul never says we could be destroyed or could perish. It turns out that he was talking about his Jewish brothers that were meeting with them at the very beginning of the body of Christ in each of those little assemblies, each of the coming out of each of those synagogues where Paul would preach that Jesus was the Messiah risen from the dead. Well, the apostate Jews wouldn't have it. And they kicked out the ones who came to believe what Paul had preached about Jesus. And they had no place to meet but in Paul's meeting. And so they were the weak brothers. They were brothers. They were in Christ. They just weren't in the body of Christ. We're in Christ also, but we're in the body of Christ too. So, brothers, you have to determine from the context whether it's talking about brothers in the body of Christ or weaker brothers in Israel that had fallen and was about to be cast away in Acts 28. Romans 14:10, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we... That's talking about we, Paul, and those of us in the body of Christ, we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. In other words, why are you judging us? We that are saved already will face judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. It's not, in other words, it's not up to brothers to judge or be judgmental about something they see you and I doing in Christian liberty. Romans 14:11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Verse 12. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. And there are other verses that show that there is an account for each of us. We have an account with God. So we believers in Christ have the opportunity right now to confess Jesus Christ is our Lord, our God, and to bow to Him in our lives, in our allegiance, to worship Him in our daily life by our actions, by our yielding, allowing Him access into our lives, and by realizing and recognizing that we're dead to sin by the righteousness of God, which He imputed to us that believe, imputed to your account, which Paul just mentioned, account in Romans 14:12 up there that we just read. That verse still stands out at the end of Romans 12. Overcome evil with good. Overcome evil with good. Romans, let's see, Galatians, what is it? Galatians 5:16 or 17? 16, I think it is. Says that if you're following the Spirit, the Holy Spirit in your life, you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, or the fleshly part of us that we had before we were Christians, but now we have, before we were believers that Christ saved us, but now we have the Spirit of God within us too, leading us, and He leads us through the Scriptures. It's so important to stay in the book. There are many things associated with the doctrine revealed to Paul by Christ for us. People that say they're following Christ aren't really following Him. They're following what He used to preach to Israel. They're not Israel, though. They're following the wrong doctrine. Christ revealed what was our doctrine, revealed it after He went back to heaven. And then He came and met Paul on the road to Damascus, saved him, and began revealing to Paul our doctrine. That's later. It's after Israel had failed. So He revealed this doctrine to Paul, and it's called the mystery of Christ. Because God kept these things, these doctrines, secret until He revealed them to Paul, starting in Acts 9. After Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts 1 through 8. We see Paul starting to talk about not being a stumbling block to that Jewish believer in a weaker position, but rather to be edifying in love. Romans 14, verse 15. We'll get to that in a few minutes. He says in Romans 14:13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. I know, this is verse 14, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. Well, the verse does not say that nothing was sin. It's not saying that. It's talking about foods and the ceremonial clean or unclean that was in the Jewish laws. He had Jewish people sitting there that he remember he said to part of the group, he said, you are God's husbandry. The vine, they were in the vine. And you are God's building. So we have a building not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That's us. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. This further shows that the weaker brothers that Paul was talking about are fellow Jews who have regard for what the law says. What the law said was clean or unclean. And Paul goes on to say in Romans 14:15, if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Aren't you glad that we in the body of Christ can't be destroyed? They can't destroy our soul and the spirit. It's great. We can't be, what's the other term? We can't perish. Again, I ask the question, was that weaker brother saved? The Bible said he could be destroyed. That weaker Jewish brother is not saved at that point. Paul's talking about the Jewish brothers that had had to meet together in the alongside the body of Christ for a while. And they were not saved until they endure to the end. They have to endure. They hadn't yet endured to the end. So this shows that it was shown earlier in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20. Let's look at those verses again. They're crucial in understanding that whole concept of the weaker brother. 1 Corinthians 7, 17. But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. Remember, 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says we're called by the gospel. As the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. And so ordain I in all churches. Verse 18, is any man called being circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Is any called in uncircumcision? Let him not be circumcised. 1 Corinthians 7:19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of God, which weren't given to us. They were given to Israel. That's me reminding us. It's not in the verse 19, but that's why he's saying that, because they're not a factor in the body of Christ and the members of the body of Christ. So, verse 20, he concludes, let every man abide in the same calling wherein he was called. So, it just fits right in there, and it vindicates or justifies the understanding that they were together in that meeting, Paul's meetings, at the beginning, when they first came out of the synagogue. And so Paul called, he addressed 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians to the church of God, not to the body of Christ. And he addressed, of course, just like in Romans, addressed who he was talking to as he went along, which group, etc. So, Romans 14:19 above, it's explained that we just read about, talked about. It's explained in Galatians 5, verse 6. Maybe I should say it's explained by this verse. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. That's why Paul said you're not acting charitably if you're eating meat before those who can't eat that, whether, you know, pork or catfish or whatever meats were not allowed for them. Now, you know, people, we need to be considerate of others and charitable to others with different beliefs today, but nobody is in a position that they were in, that those Jews were in, that they had to endure to the end, because that doctrine doesn't work anymore. Whether you're a Jew or Gentile, you can't be saved into the body of Christ other than by believing the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, that Christ died for our sins, for my sins, your sins. They're died for. They're not a factor anymore. And that he was buried and risen again. He was raised up again, resurrected. Romans 6:14, you are not under the law, but under grace. Yay. So Paul had a combination of believers meeting together. They needed to meet separately from the apostate Israel synagogues, where they heard Paul preach the gospel of God to them. Gospel of God is there in Acts 17:3. You can find it in Paul's Acts 13 sermon, between verses 26 and 37. And it's defined in Romans 1:1 through 4. But that's what he would preach when he went to the synagogues, according to Acts 17, verses 1 and 2. Neither the little flock that believed Paul's preaching of the gospel of God, those Jews in those synagogues, neither them nor the gospel of Christ believers that got saved by believing the gospel of Christ, that they heard after they left, after hearing Paul preach the gospel of God in the synagogue. Neither of those two groups were welcome in the apostate, blinded synagogues anymore after they believed that Jesus was the Christ. So they were meeting together. Who? Let's look at three possibilities, or three sectors, I should say. The newly believing little flock who had just come to believe that Jesus is their risen Messiah. That's one group. Another group, secondly, those who newly believed the gospel of God and then went on to believe the gospel of Christ as well. They were members of the body of Christ then. And thirdly, a third sector, there were some not saved yet that were in that group. And we get that from 1 Corinthians 14, verses 16 and 23. Verse 16, 1 Corinthians 14, 16. Now we're looking for those people that were not saved that got into Paul's meetings. And it says in verse 16, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? And verse 23, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned, or, here it is, unbelievers, will they not say that you are mad? So, going on with Romans 14:16, Paul's saying there is nothing wrong with eating food offered to idols or not observing the Sabbath. Let not then your good, if it's good for you to do those things, let not your good be evil spoken of. The weaker brothers are going to speak evil of it. If you, this is why this was written, why it's in print in 1 Corinthians and Romans and 2 Corinthians, for those weaker brothers. Don't let it throw you, okay? The weaker brothers are going to speak evil of it, and if you flaunt it in front of them, that's the impact of this whole passage, is don't flaunt your liberty among people that don't experience that liberty yet. So Paul's not saying to them, he's not saying it, doesn't want to aggravate them. He's not trying to agitate them, give them a reason to differ with you. He's saying not to stumble, have them stumble at the stumbling block. In fact, Paul said back in Romans 14:15 that could destroy them for individually. It could destroy a Jew for whom Christ died. He died for them too. Came to offer to be a ransom for many, it says in the Old Testament. Look at verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Do you want those? Sounds pretty good to me. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Those that think they're enjoying unrighteousness have a hollow spot that needs to be filled, and they'll miss. They'll wish they had these things at some point. What a contrast we see there. It's not the earthly things, not food, drink, wine, or Sabbath keeping or not. and foods offered to idols. That's not it. That's not the point. It's these inner qualities that matter: righteousness, peace, joy, charity. Paul again emphasizes that in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. And going on, Romans 14, 18. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Well, we know that we're accepted by God if we're in Christ, if we believe the gospel that Paul preached. And having believed the gospel of grace, we know we're accepted by God. But he says, in addition to that, we are approved of men. So, he that in these things serveth Christ is the condition. And that's verse 18. Go on to verse 19 and continue on through the end of the chapter. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. That's a big part of what we try and do here, all of us that come in. Fellowship and edification through the scriptures and through encouraging one another. That's the positive side. The negative side for them was to be careful in their lives not to place a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in the way of a believing little flock Jew. That situation doesn't exist anymore, does it? After the end of it, read the last, five verses of the book of Acts. Again, here we see that the positive side is to follow after the things which make for peace and the things which wherewith one may edify another. Going on to verse 20. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. He thinks he's not supposed to, but he saw you doing it, so he goes ahead and eats. It doesn't make much sense now, but back then, when there were people like that, Jews, that weren't supposed to eat certain things, and that was that was their set apartness, their holiness. In those gatherings back then, which included both the newly believing little flock members and the newly saved, grace-believing body of Christ members, that which was all right for a body of Christ member to do would have been evil for that man in the little flock to do if he eateth with offense, believing that it was actually unpure or unlawful for him to eat it, and he went ahead and ate it. If he thinks it's wrong and goes ahead and does it, he is doing something that he thinks is wrong, willingly violating what he thinks God wants of him. In other words, he's sinning. For them, it was sin. It would be eating with offense for a member of the body of Christ to eat what is impure for the Jews, right in front of them back then, in front of a Jew. If the tempted Jew goes ahead and eats what is impure to him because of you, he's eating with offense. You would be putting a stumbling block in front of your Jewish brother. I hope you're seeing that we're not trying to make excuses for what we don't see the connection in these Acts period epistles. We're showing that they actually were under different circumstances then. A lot of what is in these Acts epistles is directly applicable to apply. You can apply it to the body of Christ and the churches and our gospel. But there are some things in there like these that you can't just bend and say, well, it fits in this way. No, it fit to them perfectly, but to us, there's that situation just doesn't exist today. So there are two things to consider in this. First, we need to be careful about whose servants we allow ourselves to become. Look at 1 Corinthians 6:12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Well, how can we determine whose power we are brought under? Let's apply what we studied a few chapters earlier in Romans 6:16 and Romans 6:19. They give us a choice. It comes down to a choice given to the Lord gives us a choice. He doesn't make us robots. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves, servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Now going to this Romans 6:19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded, over and over we're seeing yielding in there, as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity, unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and unto holiness. So there's our choice. There's our choice. But that can help us ascertain whose power we are brought under. And we have that choice. We that are Christian, that are believers, that have believed the gospel that Paul preached. Those that haven't are still in the flesh. They don't have any choice. They can't follow the Spirit until they have the Spirit, until they're sealed with the Spirit by believing the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. Okay, that was the first the first part, needing to be careful about whose servants we allow ourselves to become. Secondly, though, we need to be careful to be faithful to our commission, to both tell others the gospel of salvation and to edify fellow believers with the knowledge of the truth. Let's look at some verses regarding that. 1 Corinthians 10:23, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Not everything you do or try to do that, you know, the people that are unsaved try and do good things sometimes from a different source, but they still try to do them. Not all things edify. We know that the Scripture edifies. Paul said, now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. Acts 20:32. Let's look in Romans 14:21. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Again, Paul's talking about that temporary situation there in Rome, in Corinth, and in other places where the Jewish little flock believers meeting together with the body of Christ believers there because they had believed the gospel of God, the basics of who Jesus is that Paul came and preached in the synagogue. We don't experience that situation today, but we can learn from the process they had to go through. The process they had to go through was charity, caring about others in a calculated way, being beneficial, even if it's self-sacrificial. Back then, they had to be charitable in a mixed meeting. If thy, this is verse 15, Romans 14:15. If thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. They had to self-sacrificially take action to benefit others. And we recognize that we are enabled, we're enabled to exercise that same process. Even though we're not in a mixed meeting of little flock and body of Christ believers. Next verse, Romans 14:22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. You know, don't be in a situation where, oh no, I think I did something I shouldn't have done. I think I caused a Jewish little flock believer to stumble by something I ate. That's what he's talking about there, I think. Verse 22, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And in that mixed situation back then, Paul was writing to those grace believers with liberty, and that they needed to consider how exercising that liberty would affect others around them that see them. The actual event of eating or drinking, what they were at liberty to eat or drink, may have been pure for them, but they were not at liberty to cause little flock believers to stumble by that thing which he alloweth. Don't condemn yourself in the things that you allow. Going on to verse 23, Romans 14:23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat. Now, Paul's talking about he that doubts. That would be the weaker brother, the Jewish brother. That also confirms it again, that's what he's talking about. That's the people that are meeting there together with Paul that are not in the body of Christ. They're in Israel, in the little flock of Israel, believing Israel, we could say. They still had to endure to the end to be saved. Romans 14:23. He that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And here we see that those brothers which are not in the body of Christ can be damned. Can he be already be saved if he can still be damned? No, I'm sure there are those that will say it's not talking about damning to hell, or it's it's talking about being right with God or not right with God throughout here. I don't see how you can take it and say it means this in this way or in that way if it doesn't say so in the text there. He's not among the saved if he can be damned. He's not saved. They're a contradiction of terms. That's the meaning of saved, is avoiding God's wrath. If you can ever end up in hell, then you're not yet saved from the wrath of God. So those that were in that situation in Rome were brother Jews. They were the brothers kindred-wise. The context actually continues a few more verses after we get into Romans 15, so we're going to go a few more verses here. Romans 15:1, we then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. That's like saying we then that are in the body of Christ ought to bear the infirmities of the Jewish brothers among us, and not to please ourselves. That's the impact of what he was saying. That's an exhortation which goes to each of us, not to please ourselves, but to bear the infirmities of the weak that are around us. Remember, Paul said that the infirmities are the flesh. Back in Romans 6:19, he says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members, servants, to uncleanness, to iniquity, into iniquity, even so now yield your members, servants, of righteousness unto holiness. And then verses 2 and 3 in Romans 15, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. In other words, to your neighbor's edification. Whether your neighbor is a Body of Christ member or a believing Jew back then or an unsaved person today. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. Knowledge is a key. Lack of knowledge is the trouble. We as ambassadors need to teach Bible doctrine. We need to teach Bible knowledge in a way that will be listened to by those around us. In our daily lives, we need to let people know that we are ambassadors. Ambassadors make an impact. We are to make a difference in what the world around us knows. They should learn through us, or be able to. If they've got their fingers in their ears, they're not going to learn. But that, we need to do our part as ambassadors. We're to make known what our sender has told us to make known. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, and then we'll look at verses 10 and 11. Getting close to closing here. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 8, 6. But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things. And we by him. Verse 7. Howbeit there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with a conscience of the idol unto this day eat it as a thing offered unto an idol. And their conscience being weak is defiled. That weak person thinks the idol is a real god. Down in verse 10, 1 Corinthians 8, verse 10 and 11, for if any man see thee which hast knowledge, sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish, for whom Christ died. It's talking about Christ's death and dying for our sins. So what's the remedy? Let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Talking about God, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. What's our position? What's our calling? 2 Corinthians 5, verses 18 and 20, we see that all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Who got that ministry of reconciliation? The us that got reconciled, right in the verse there. Who hath reconciled us. Are you reconciled? I am. Colossians 1:20 says, I brought it up, I guess. Let me quote it right. I'm looking it up here just a moment, and I'll post it. Colossians 1:20 regarding reconciliation, and having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. all things by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. So, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given us, the reconciled ones, the ministry of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, you around us that we're ambassadors to, beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Well, this follows the pattern that Paul says Timothy should follow in his ministry to the things thou hast heard of me, heard Paul preach, among many witnesses, those same things commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So it goes on, and that's how we got to hear it. It carries on and goes on. And just in closing, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, which is the gospel of your salvation. Amen. Any comments or questions?